Welcome to the Project Joy radio show. And good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am excellent.
Don't you love that? I am excellent, too.
Perfect.
It's such a wonderful way to be, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, yeah, and to be able to just check in and answer in that way so spontaneously is just pure joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it always helps.
And go ahead.
It always helps to have a great lineup of practice focuses for the last 3 days. So.
It really does. Yeah. And I was going to confess that I'm actually under the weather. And have been for several days now, and I can still wholeheartedly say I'm excellent.
Wow.
I feel excellent. Yeah. So while the body struggles with what the body struggles with, the spirit, the heart, however we want to say, you know, I'm completely filled with joy and gratitude. So and I am not confused for a second. That it is in direct proportion to the amount of time, energy that's given to focusing on what is so and what is real.
Yeah, yeah, well stated. Yeah, so really, no matter what's going on content-wise, the heart's always fine.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly so. And to realize, even though in Zen, of course, the understanding is that body and mind are one. They are. One is visible, one is invisible. One is manifest and one is unmanifest, or, you know, however we want to form an emptiness or, you know, that sort of thing. But it doesn't change the reality that everything is fine no matter what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And that we can be joyful in whatever circumstances if our attention is on what is actually so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my experience too is that if that's the case, then the body has all of the energy it can possibly have to be able to heal itself. So we're not in opposition to the illness or how we're feeling or what the circumstances are, then the body is free to do what it does best, which is heal up.
That's right. There's nothing, there is none of that negativity that ego would like to impose to put a strain on the immune system.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if we're just living in happiness and gratitude and joy, then yes, as you say, the body has the very best that it can have to get itself back into balance or equilibrium or health.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. All right, shall I launch into our practice focus?
Yes, please.
Let's do. All right, so for Friday, you gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You must do the thing which you think you cannot do. Eleanor Roosevelt. Today, make a list of the things the voices tell you to fear. Which one would you choose to engage to begin facing fear? Turn on your recorder and invite the mentor's guidance on facing this one specific fear. Remember, this is a process. When we know how to face down one fear, we know how to face down all fear. And the focus for Saturday, I'm not afraid of storms, for I am learning how to sail my ship. Louisa May Alcott. Excitement is another word for the sensations we think of as fear. Today, feel the excitement of considering doing something dangerous that you have always wanted to do. As you picture doing this dangerous thing, experience the excitement. Record and listen how excitement feels. And the practice focus for Sunday, worry gives gives a small thing a big shadow. Swedish proverb. Conditioned mind keeps our lives small by making us afraid. Almost nothing conditioning wants us to worry about happens. Today, observe the voices of worry talking to you. Whenever you hear a what-if scenario in your head, usually followed by a fearful outcome, record and listen what is actually so in the moment.
You know, Chris, every one of those, listening to them just boom, boom, boom like that, every one of those is pointing us toward have a direct experience of what is so. Get out of the stories in conditioned mind. Get here and experience what is true. Right? That's what every one of them is saying.
Yep. And I know we talked about it before, but it's great to have it in all of those different languages and different approaches. And we can really begin to see the light from all of those different directions. So, yeah. All right, shall I move on to our first caller?
Please.
Let's do.
Thank you.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, my name is Emily. I'm from the Seattle area.
Hi, Emily.
I'm experimenting, doing something very dangerous right now.
Like just calling trying. In?
Yes.
It is, isn't it? I mean, the voices would, of course, it's not. We know it's not in our more rational moments, but the voices would certainly want to convince us that you should be really terrified at this point.
Yeah. So
what's going on?
So I've just been experimenting with this for a while, and I was recording about, I was trying to get excited about it. and
the it being
about doing something dangerous. I'm just really nervous, more nervous than I thought.
Now, see, that's the, let me just talk while you breathe, okay?
Okay.
That's the whole deal right there. We don't have to get excited about doing something dangerous. We need to do something that the voices say is dangerous, like calling into this and putting yourself in the queue. And then realize that everything we're feeling, not the story, but everything we're actually feeling, we could just as easily call excitement if we were listening to a different interpretation. So in the fear book, one of the examples that I give is from a while back, being to no fault of my own, being up at the top of a ski run that was so far beyond my ability that it was insane that I should have ever managed to get up there. And you got to get from there to there, right? And so the story is you're going to die. At least you're going to break every bone in your body. But the adrenaline going through the body was just, you know, if I just went with that, it would be an ecstatic experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess I'm having an ecstatic experience right now.
Oh, you just don't sound that convinced, but you're on your way to being convinced, right? It's possible. It's possible that you could learn to feel what you're feeling right now as feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just having a ton of energy, just so much energy that, you know, you're ready to run that 10K.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way that we can have a sense that, what we're talking about is so, is how hard the voices work to make us not have that experience, to convince us that it's not like that, and that we really have to be afraid and shut down and feel bad and all of those kinds. Why are those voices working so hard to convince us of that? That you can't have this experience. You can't do that because you're going to feel awful. It's going to feel awful. Why are they working so hard? Because you'd think that we would have our own experience of it, and that would be the end of it, which has happened to many, many people, as we know. But you're in this place where you're ready to face it and prove to yourself that it's not terrifying and that you don't have to be paralyzed. And those voices are so devoted to keeping you from having that experience.
Yeah, well, I'm trying.
Say it again?
I said, well, I'm trying.
What does that mean?
To face down the voices.
Yeah, and you know, Emily, you don't have to face them down. You just don't pay any attention to them. So in a situation like we're describing, it's possible for us just to turn all the attention to the breath and take long, slow breaths, and you're just paying attention all the way in and all the way out, and as you breathe out, you feel your shoulders drop and your belly relax, and then you take the next breath, and you just keep your attention there. And as we go along, we learn to keep our attention like that while we do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And then there's no room for those voices.
That sounds good.
So blessedly, we don't have to have any relationship with them at all. We're just learning to ignore them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is there more?
I guess I did what I meant to do. I hope I can do it again.
Oh, of course you can. I mean, that's the whole deal. See, that's what they do. You just did it. So the question about whether you can do it again is irrelevant. Of course you can do it again. You did it once. If you'd never done it, then we could say, well, I don't know if I can do it. But once we've done it, we know we can do it. Yeah, it takes practice.
Okay.
But of course we can do it. You've proved you can do it. You know you can do it. Now they're saying, well, but what if you can't do it again? Well, if I couldn't do it again, I wouldn't have been able to do it the first time. So that's not a valid argument. And your confidence and courage grows, and those voices get more desperate. Now, the fact that they're more desperate is your clue that they are frightened because you are less frightened by them.
Okay.
All right? All right. We'll hear from you again before long then, I bet.
Okay, I'll try.
Right. Thank you. Thanks, Emily. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Emily. You know, Sherry, that seemed like a really great example of, from the quote, of learning how to sail my ship. And
yes.
If we go with that metaphor, if there's no wind, what are we doing? Why are we bothering? And so we really do want to have some wind in the sail. We do want to have those kinds of, I don't know how I would say it, compelling arguments from conditioning to have the attention with it so that we can learn how to keep the attention with ourselves and with the moment. Mm-hmm. And just that whole process of learning seems really critical.
Yes, yeah. And I go back, of course, to whatever it was that we were talking about that a few years ago with the learning to love learning.
Yeah.
The thing that is just traumatized out of children, it would seem, the joy of learning something. I'm doing it because I want to have the experience, because I haven't had the experience. And part of that can be, I want to do it. I want to learn to do this because those voices are screaming so hysterically that I can't and shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that really is the reason to go. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, when there's no wind, you can stay home and meditate, catch up on your email or whatever it is that you need to do. But when there's a wind and you want to learn to sail, the voices start screaming, don't go out there. The wind is too big. It's too, you know, you're going to die. You're going to drown. But I'm learning to sail. So this is the day to go. And the connecting the dots part of that is those voices that are screaming you're going to die are what will kill us.
Mm.
Not the sailing that's going to kill us. It's listening to those voices that kills us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. Let's see what our next caller has to say.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Chris and Sherry, this is Margaret in Menlo Park.
Hey, Margaret.
Hey. Gosh, I'm so glad to be on, actually.
You're sailing your little ship, aren't you?
I am, indeed. And I'm so grateful for just being here without any standards, no preparation, mm-hmm. just showing up, getting in the queue. Mm-hmm. Here I am, sailing mm-hmm. my ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've been here before, as you were saying, and yet the voices just would do anything to stop me from calling in and
yeah.
getting in the queue. I'm always here. I mean, I would not miss this, you know, this the morning show. But to call into the queue has been, it's like the standard showed up for that. And
it's just crazy, isn't it? That's what to me is so powerful about us doing this together, because, you know, we're Sangha, right? Everybody, you know, I mean, we feel we're Sangha with everybody in the world who's attempting to wake up. Well, everybody, even people who don't know they're attempting to wake up. But us, you know, I mean, we're doing this together. We are here to support one another in this practice of ending suffering. And the voices are trying to make that something to be afraid of, something that we shouldn't be, that we should be talked out of doing. And it's just, when we step back from it, it's so crazy, except that what we know is those voices are going to be revealed. And that's why they don't want you to call in. Not because there's anything wrong with you or anything's going to happen to you or any. It's that they're going to be revealed and they're going to lose power.
Yes. Yes. And I think, you know, as we're talking, I think the power they're losing most is that I have to know something before I can speak.
Mm.
It's that not, that fear of not knowing.
Yeah.
Which isn't,
and then
it's just bogus.
Right, yes. Because one of the things that we know in awareness practice is we don't know.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's one of our basic realizations. How could we know? There's nothing to know. You know, again, you know, from a science perspective, this is true. Right? The next moment, this moment has never been here. Never going to be here again. Nothing like this has ever existed. Now, if we're not paying attention, it looks really similar to other moments, but only because we're listening to a story and conditioned mind. If we're actually here, we get it that I couldn't possibly know anything because this has never happened, which is why people are always so shocked by what happens, because there's this belief that I know. And then when it becomes obvious that, well, actually I didn't because this thing happened that I would have never thought of, there's this shock and dismay. And then, of course, the voices just jump right in to make a person feel bad. Well, you should have known. Well, how could you have known? Nobody knew. That's just the most basic ego lie. You should have known better. You couldn't have known better. It never happened. Nobody knew. Yeah. So when we really get that, for me, it becomes so exciting to realize I don't know what's going to happen next. Right? Yeah. So if we went to a movie and we knew, now I know there are people who see movies over and over and over again. I have never been one of those people. I don't read a book again. I don't see a movie again. I just, again, it's not something that appeals to me. Right? For that very reason. What fun is it if you know what's going to happen? Except, I suppose, it does feed that ego belief that I know or I should know. I can know. But we can't. We don't. So it's so exciting. You wake up in the morning, you have no idea what's going to happen. No idea.
Yeah, and I especially loved these three quotes all together that seem to be. Pardon?
No, I was just agreeing. Yes, they were thrilling together, weren't they? Yeah,
they were, and it showed me that I have the direct experience of sailing my ship through the guidance about, you know, being with fear in baby steps. And and in places that felt just huge, like, you know, I could be sucked through a bridge over the Rio Grande River that didn't have, you know, where you could see straight down through the, you know, just fear of heights or that sort of thing. And realizing, no, that's not going to happen. I'm just going to slowly walk out on the bridge, and I'll be okay. And it was so much like what I've, you know, what I'm sort of guess flying might be like if I could fly, which I've always wanted to do. And so it was thrilling.
Which you might
it
do
was.
Now.
Well, I meant without, like, I meant like a bird flies, so.
Oh, okay, maybe not so much.
Maybe not so much. I love being in airplanes, I mean, in little airplanes and stuff like that, where it's close to that, but it's not quiet. It's not like there's just the air and that vast air below you. But it just totally transformed what had become, or what conditioning was convincing me of, was just not possible and crazy to do, even to go out on a bridge like that, or, you know, be that close to the edge of vast air out there.
In that moment, you were not as excited about flying like a bird.
No. And I had had moments like that just started showing up, and being with myself in them.
Yeah, exactly, Margaret. Because the thing about it is, so there you are on that bridge. Now, the odds are really good that it's going to keep standing and you're going to be able to walk across it, even though your knees might be wobbly and you have to hold on to the rail, all, you know. Still, the odds are really good you're going to get to the other side. But if if you didn't, if something happened out there, if you were with yourself in that way, what a beautiful preparation for the next step.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we want to be with ourselves all the time, not trembling in fear and listening to voices tell us how scary everything is and how we can't, and we have to shut down, and we have to be afraid. We don't want to die in that state. When it's time to let go and really go, we want to go with a big smile on our faces, a thank you on our lips, and excitement about what now.
Yes, and to be paying attention, like you're saying, with everything I have that I could possibly bring to it, is exactly what I want and what what was the way to live in that moment, in those moments, and the way to live always.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. I'm excited for you. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks, Margaret. All right, Sherry, I think we're about to the end of our time, so how about the focus for the rest of the day?
All right, that sounds good, Chris.
Freedom is what you do with what's been done to you. Jean Paul Sartre.
Oof.
Yeah, that's big, isn't it?
Read it again, would you? Read it again. Oh, my goodness.
Freedom is what you do with what's been done to you.
Wow. That points at something so quintessentially Zen, isn't it? That what has been done to us is our, whatever form of the verb we would want there, that is what we have to work with to bring us to freedom.
Mm. That's the raw
Those
material
are the gifts.
Available.
That's the raw material. Those are the gifts we've been given. And conditioning teaches us to hunker down and be afraid and try to avoid them. It's like wanting an education but never wanting to take any classes in anything.
Yeah. So being in a place where you really know that of different experiences available, or you might sense that that is so, but not being allowed by conditioning to make any moves that will really make that difference.
Yeah. So how could every story that conditioned mind hits us with be used to move us toward liberation?
Mm-hmm. And here's the assignment that goes with that too, Sherry, because it's just right up that alley. In the present, we can undo the past and release the future. Horrible things may have happened in the past, but we don't need to give those horrible things our present or our future. Today, look to see which old story you are ready to bless and release. What would your life be if this story were no longer one you listened to and believe? Record and listen your experience of no longer being controlled by an old story.
Wow. You just feel those fetters falling off, can't you?
Yeah, that first line, we can undo the, in the present, we can undo the past and release the future. Boy, there's two things that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate really says we can't do, that it's not possible to do those things.
And yet it so is.
It's what is available to us,
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Should we
thank
do this
you,
again
Sherry.
Tomorrow?
Let's do. Same time.
All right. Same time. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.